seems like I'm up here alone. Great. Oh, yay. It's a thank you for moving forward. I decided I'd move forward and meet you halfway. I do a lot of facilitation of workshops, so I usually just project. So I hope people can hear me and stuff. Thank you so much for coming out on a dark November night. As I said earlier, I always appreciate when, and I'm always surprised, as I was saying to someone earlier, when people in Vancouver come out to watch us, because I've screened it enough times in the city, but I appreciate people screening it and people coming to it. So thank you so much. I'm totally open to any questions that you have, or any comments, or anything that you want to throw to other people to talk about. Let's just do it. But I don't know if you have anything that you want to ask or say or to begin with.
The first question asked by the audience was what Gwen's loved ones' reactions were after seeing themselves portrayed in the film in that interview format.
They've not seen it yet. No, I'm joking. I actually did something you're not... So what did everyone think when they... Like, what were their reactions when seeing it? I actually did something that you're supposed to not do if you're a filmmaker, which is I waited till people saw a fine cut before I got them to say... to sign waivers saying that they're okay with it, because I felt that this film is about family and chosen family, and it was really important that their voices were represented in the film as opposed to me taking it and making it to what was my perception. So I really wanted people to actually see it, feel that they were fairly represented, and then sign off. And so I showed it to them and let them watch it alone so that it wasn't like a charged situation. My parents watch it together, and my mom said they paused like a half to two-thirds of the way through, got a Kleenex box and watched it. And everyone signed it. The only thing that my mom kind of wished would be different is maybe if I would remove my sister dumpster diving or something. But I was like, yeah, put that in the film. They won't worry about the rest of it. Great. So they were fine. I was the person when it first screened at the Vancouver International Film Festival who was actually the most worried, because it's one thing for my dad to see him self, I thought, in the privacy of with their host, with my mom. It's another thing for him as this like RCMP officer, the stoic, I always say it wrong, silent type, suddenly watching it, him tearing up in front of 250 other people at the Van City Theater. It's like, how is he going to take it then? Like, is it, and so they all had a good time and enjoyed it. It was me who was in the back pacing the foyer, dry heaving and like being really worried about it, but it went over really well. For them. And so the six folks that were in the film actually really liked it, appreciated it. And I let some folks like Magosh and Rory watch a rough cut along the way. And it was really helpful to have those fresh eyes and different people. The only person I let watch it for the first, until it was like 70% done, was my graduate advisor here at UBC, Sharon McGowan. At that point, it was a very, like, you know, still kind of not sure where it's quite going to go. It started out as an experimental film, became a documentary, and I kind of wanted to be able to put my vision into it before I started getting a bunch of different voices telling me what direction it should go in. I think sometimes it's really good to like keep it tight or close and have one or two trusted folks who have a sense of what your vision is, like give you feedback, and then open it up to other folks. But sometimes if you have that like brainstorming really early on, it goes in eight different directions and it feels really messy after a while. But Sharon was really, really beneficial. And then getting Rory and Margot to see at a certain point really helped me take certain scenes out that were not really part of the arc. That's only when it had a different tone or a different place. And it's like, good, but maybe not super relevant for what this film is trying to convey. So, yeah.
The next question asked was, what did Gwen do for self-care when in the process of coming out to her family and friends?
A number of things, many I may not remember, but a couple, the first, I came out to Magosh and Rory, and after that I slowly came out to people who I thought there was a good chance that they would be supportive or loving, even if they don't necessarily know everything, or if they wouldn't necessarily be perfect allies or whatever, that they were people that would be there and love me regardless. And I kind of did a lot of that before I approached, say, my parents, who were a higher stakes. I was 27 at the time, so it wasn't as scary as if I was a dependent on them. But still, it was scary to potentially lose them. So I really wanted to have that love and support around me in case I was going through a lot more grief. So I kind of built up that, which I think helped give me more practice and courage and support, and knowing that it's important for me to talk about this. by the time that I actually came out with them. When I came to conversations with them, I don't know if I said this in the film, but I somehow I kind of had the sense with them, at least, that it was more about actively listening to their concerns every time I saw them, you know, every couple of months or something like that. They'd probably have been thinking about all these different things and what if scenarios and all this sort of stuff. And so much so that they were probably saturated and had this glass ceiling of how much they can think about. When I went into the space, I kind of had this knowledge that I just had to listen and hear and validate, even if I don't agree with. And I can say a couple things here and there, but mostly just really hear and not come back with but the sort of like but or yeah, but, or this sort of thing, because I think then they would have thought, you're not hearing me. So I think when I left, often they would feel like, okay, we said that to her, or him at the time, kind of, and I think it helped them break that glass ceiling a bit and to move on to the next stage. And I couldn't have controlled what their journeys were, individual journeys were. I think I had to let it be. And if I just listen to them, next time I come around, they're kind of their stages through that sort of like shock, denial, anger, compromise, acceptance, had kind of moved a little bit more at certain points, or they had discussions with other people like my sisters, other people in their lives, that their insight from a different perspective helped them move that next step. So I think that was some of the stuff there. For me, I think it was also like just getting the chance to chat with a bunch of different people, not always the same person, because as Rory was saying, I'm sure in the film, like, you know, how many times you have to hear the same story or the same excitement. It's like making sure I got to connect with different folks and give people some breather to talk about other passions that we had. And that was something I think when I look back at, I wish I had done a little bit more, is made sure that I didn't get so caught up in this journey that I forgot the other passions in my life. I feel like I came out of 3 years later going like, what happened? Where am I? Who was it? Wasn't I a filmmaker at some point? Didn't I do this? I used to like hiking. What happened to that? Like, I think that I got so immersed in that and the stress around it. And sometimes it's really hard when you want to move forward in something and you feel like there's other things that are stopping, but like, I think figuring out the ways that you can go into self-care when you know that you're starting to circle can be beneficial to circumventing getting stuck in it. And I finally learned at some point, and yes, I do like that old dark melancholy, dark wave music and stuff like that, but maybe if I listen to it too much, when I'm in that mode, it's not so good, so put on some happy music. Just those little things, self-care things to learn and do. So. Yeah.
But all of your family members and partners involved in the film and friends, everyone seemed so comfortable being in front of the camera. And there was a lot of footage, for example, like of Malgosh just like washing dishes or something. So I'm just wondering, when you took that footage, was it with this film in mind, or was that just sort of a hobby or like a daily capturing the moment sort of thing? Just because everyone in all of the footage just seemed so comfortable and doesn't look like
Yeah, that specific footage I was already making the film. I think that there was a lot of archival stuff in the past, but then I started just recording as we went along, and people knew I was recording a lot more than I probably possibly ever use in a film. So I think in you start to forget the cameras there. Also, I think that very often what I did is it was just me with them, or gave the camera to someone else who's like say in the film to hold for a bit, so it was a different perspective. But when it came to the interviews, it was just me in the room with them. So I set up the camera and lights and microphones, but then I sat with them, and there was nobody else in the room. I think if there was like a sound recorder or a cinematographer and me, my mom would start filtering what she's saying, right? Whereas if it's just me and her in the room, she's more likely to actually say the stuff using the language that she used when speaking to me. And I would, when I was doing that, when I was very conscientious about the questions I'd asked, I would start off with questions I knew were mostly throwaway questions to give them time to like get it more at ease with the style and what we're doing. And then I would cycle like, okay, like here's some maybe more sober questions or slightly harder questions. Here's some funny, fun questions, some hard, like so that they weren't like depleted emotionally by the time they got to certain. So I think that was important in the interviewing, just like in the film itself. I feel like I had seen a lot of trans documentaries that were like one note kind of throughout. And I think that to me like felt like if I'm gonna do something of this length, that I need to have different sort of emotional points in it, fun points, hard points, in order for those to still remain raw and fun, as opposed to like darker, 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 twist, happy. And it's like, and I'd seen stuff like that before where I'm like, that's not kind of how people work. They go through a lot of different sort of like grappling to accept and frustration and all these different emotions, and I want that to be reflected more. Because the representations I'd seen of like family beforehand at that point were often non-existent family, or family that people were fighting with throughout, or family that was, I'm here, happy. Or folks are like, as I was just saying, not into it, not into it, not into it, twist, happy. And it's like, no, no, it feels like it's more of a journey. And for people like my sister and Rory, maybe it's a very quick journey. And for folks like, say, my dad or my mom or my other sister, it might be a lot more teased out. So, but I kind of felt it was important just to have those like one-on-one or really close, intimate things with folks. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was just wondering, you seem to be like a documenter of your life, but obviously we are privy to that documentation post 2007 or whatever. So is that still like a sort of big part of your day-to-day routine, or?
No, not so much anymore. I think I kind of wore myself out a little bit. and now that we have social media out there, I think everyone's documenting everything all the time. That I think my kind of way of resisting is like, I'm not going to. But I get caught up now and then. But I think I still film here and there, like as like when I go on trips. My partner Nick is like, what are you gonna do with that footage? You're always shooting these 10-second footages of like scenery and stuff. And I have some thoughts in my head, but not necessarily documenting family to the same extent. Mm-hmm. But we are thinking about a family in the near future with little ones. So maybe I'll pick up the camera again at that point and start that process. I think I've pulled back because I want to get back more to like maybe more artful experimental film or experimental fiction in time. But right now I'm mostly doing video work for like Vancouver Coastal Health and Rain City Housing around just social awareness around things like mental health, about homelessness, around LGBTQ and two-spirit youth, and building capacity in LL communities to support youth, whether that be in Prince Rupert, Vernon, Vancouver, or whatnot. So I feel really fortunate to be working with a lot of amazing, wonderful people that I continue to learn and grow from. So I just like to flow with things and end up doing work that seems to be part of community-based sort of stuff. I think before I came out, I had, like, when I was at film school initially at Vancouver here, I was like, auteur, I want to be an auteur, I want to make all these films. Or I'm like, and I think that coming out was humbling in terms of recognizing I'm part of communities and how much we support one another. And I think it was more about that, like, collaboration or power with, as opposed to wanting to be this person who's recognized for this thing alone. So I think more of the stuff I do nowadays, whatever it ends up being, interconnected with people, and usually people coming together to create something and being able to play a part, and that's pretty awesome. So,
Gwen's film includes a number of animated segments. An audience member asked how she chose which segments she wanted to animate.
Yeah, so it was my MFA, and I didn't get any funding for it. And a really important thing to do for me at the time was that I used Mini DV, which was like a consumer-based video format at the time. Because everything else that was shot beforehand was off, you know, consumer-based stuff that families did, archival. And I wanted to do something that people could, on a medium that people also could get access to, recognizing that some folks obviously couldn't get access to that either, but still something that was at least consumer-based, because I didn't want to go out to different festivals and say, you should do this too, and it be something that requires applying for funding that already has barriers for a lot of people accessing. So, the two things that I couldn't do on my own, because I did most of the editing, the shooting it, the writing and this sort of thing, but were I didn't have any animation skills and I didn't have any composition skills as a musician. So those are the two people that I actually brought on. So the animator, Michael Mann, is actually Malgosh's husband in the film in the end. So I met him through Malgosh, and then I was looking for a studio to work out of, and I knew he was looking, so we got one together. And then I asked him about if he would be interested in doing the animation with me. And so I kind of had a sense of some of the more playful scenes or the things that I felt might be useful to show in a different way. So that, again, that emotional rhythm and pacing and stuff that could be playful. And I didn't want to go back into the gender clinic and film the room and stuff. I figured it would be just been very quick to do it through animation. With my mom, a lot of the things that she'd bring up just sort of hark back to this sort of like, oh, this is how I'm supposed to, you know, if I identify as female. This is the way I'm supposed to be. And it's like, no. And so I thought it was playful and fun to like to like play off of that, because I knew that she would be fine with that. So those are moments where I thought it could be more playful and fun, and tongue in cheek in a little bit. And so, and then Michael likes to push things a little further than most. And so we would play back and we'd push back and forth about, okay, what was the way to do this or not and stuff like that. And then he would come with me with some stuff, and I would suggest maybe this, or he'd give me what he had animated, and then I would re-edit a bit and show him. So we got to play off of that, which was fun as well.
The next audience member question was what it is like watching the film for Gwen 8 years after the fact.
I think if I don't watch it in a while, then just certain parts that are refreshing, or even maybe a little tear-jerking, because it's like people in my life. I'm thankful that it's, for me, held up so far over time. There's always little things like, oh, I wish I could, but not major. And in this, I feel it's really good. Whereas I watched some of my student films before that, I'm like, whoa. I just, for me, it was really important to hopefully make something that resonated and that was a little bit different. I just want to show something around family and chosen family, working through something hard and still being there for each other, which I didn't necessarily see a lot of before that. And I saw a lot of stuff that felt like it was entrenched stereotypes. I'd programmed at the local queer film fest or been on the programming committee and seen a lot of the representations of lesbian, gay, and bi folks or queer folks were made by lesbian, gay, and bi and queer folks. But when it came to gender nonconforming and trans folks, a lot of it was still made by allies or people who stumbled across us and like, oh my God, there's these people, let's make a documentary about them. And no joke, I still see those documentaries every 2 years or so. Someone's gone into a community as an ethnographer and film, like, got to tell the world about this because I've never come across this before, and it's just so, and it's like, oh, okay, it's the same film, but a different director and different cast documentary. And it just felt like, couldn't we see more of communities just representing themselves, regardless of who they are? And so so I want to do that in a way that's sort of like showing family, being part of someone's journey, and instead of it being all focused on the individual and them talking about themselves. And I was never on screen talking at the same time. So you hear me throughout, and it's about, I'm the center of it, but the only six people you see talking are my family and chosen family. And so I just want to make that subtle shift in something. And there's times where I'm like, oh, it's years gone by, so there's so much more amazing stuff and stuff that talks about intersectional identities in ways that my film can't. And it's so amazing and awesome, and there's great spokespeople out there like Janet Mox and Laverne Cox and all these wonderful people. But then we still have like folks who have way too much money that are suddenly making a reality TV show, and I'm like, oh, your representations are, I feel, sometimes questionable or aggressive. And so I just really want to encourage people to get out there with their own cameras back then and just, whether it's a 5-minute piece or whatever it is, get out there and shoot it. Get to the film festival, and YouTube was starting back then too. And it's like, get it on there, do sort of stuff so we can see more representations of communities by communities and start learning from each other, as opposed to these middleman filmmakers that I'd always sort of seen back in the 1990s and early 2000s that were like somebody who's in a place of access and privilege going out and documenting other communities. And it's like, no, we need to see more. And we are seeing that obviously more and more for sure. And we saw it way before then too, but it's just really exciting to see more and more diversity in the representations of.
That was a small cutoff there. The last word of that sentence was folk. The next question was, how has the journey been for Gwen's family and friends over the past 8 years?
Oh, they're fabulous. They're amazing. I love them. My little sister moved to Winnipeg. Now she's moved back, and so she'll be around more, and I'm excited about that. She also talks about potentially having a kid or something like that, so my parents are kind of excited about the idea of maybe moving closer to where we'd all be living and being around, so I think they're just super excited. My mom is loving, supporter, and amazing, and always kind of got a little bit of a pop psychology lens on things, but she's always like coming from love and the heart. So I think things trip her up in terms of what her assumptions are, but then she's just like, it comes back to the love and wanting the best for her children, and so I think she's always coming from a really pure, loving place in that respect. I've never known her to be mean or vindictive in life. I've always known her to be loving, and so I'm really lucky. And I think my dad is at that point in life where he's retired and still working, but like scared of not working. I think he feels so much of his life has been about being meaningful to others in terms of the work that he does, and just through that lens. And I think that he and a lot of the folks he worked with probably never really did the volunteer stuff and all the other kind of ways that you can be engaged and purposeful and meaningful. And so I think he's scared to stop working because he's starting to see some of his folks from his community pass away early. And so I think that, I don't know, I think as we get closer and he gets more sensitive around that sort of stuff, we'll maybe be able to engage and talk more about stuff that was harder to at a younger age. So I think we're closer, but I still think with my dad it's always that slower journey because he wasn't taught to be open about vulnerabilities and to have the tools to communicate with, like, the way, say, that other folks in my family have or made that space. So I feel like in some ways, like, we all end up being conditioned in one way or another in gendered ways or policed in gendered ways growing up, and some of us break out of that a lot. Some of us maybe don't so much. I think my dad has kind of got that gender policing around him in a different way than, say, someone like myself. And I just hope as he ages, he feels he can reach out more and we can chat more and I can reach out more, because I think I still have to challenge myself to be. I think I very much go into that sort of like, I'm back around my parents, you know, and my conversations with my mom have evolved with age. With my dad, I feel like it's always a little tougher. There's always some sort of, I feel like I'm going back into some mold that I'm trying not to, kind of thing. And so how do I break that? So that was all over the place, but I hope that made some sense.
The next question dealt with the film's extreme honesty. Gwen was asked if she was ever afraid to be so honest or felt the need to hold back.
I think making the film was really vulnerable. Like, I cried a lot through it, making it, and sometimes wondered, why am I repicking at this scar or the scab when everyone else has let it heal and moved on? Like, why am I doing this? What's the... And then I kept hoping that it would actually be something that people would actually appreciate and it would be useful for others. I also worried that when it first screened, like, if people didn't take it well, or if people, like, you know, like, got angry at my parents or something like that, or like, your dad's a dick or whatever, you know, then I would be like, that's not what I'm looking for from this. I'm hoping people would resonate with different people and then maybe pull it and not show it. But it got a warm reception, so that made me feel better about it. And it was really exciting to be at different theaters and, like, seeing people with their 80-year-old, I think, mother, and like me sitting behind, and like, oh my God, your mom's out with you, and you're like an older gay man, and it's like, how exciting is it to see like families, like potential families coming together, and then people just reaching out afterwards and saying how it maybe resonated with them about not a trans experience but something else. A friend who said, you know what, when you came out, I didn't know what to say. I didn't have any kind of language around it to support you, but I kind of always wished the best for you, and I just didn't know. And then when I saw this film, it was powerful because it reminded me of my my adoption and my relationship to my adopted father and so forth and stuff. So it was wonderful to see how it kind of maybe related to other family challenges and people connected. So I was very thankful that people let me know, or that I heard some stories about how it was helpful or lovely, or folks who've then said, I want to show up to someone who's going through a hard time because someone in their family is transitioning. That's, I think, just it being useful to somebody was the most, you know, that's the biggest gift I can get from people. So, yeah.
Gwen was asked if any of the responses to the interview process gave her new or surprising information.
I think most of it had. I think the main thing was hearing it all so much at the same time, which was hard, and like sometimes, and you know, sometimes cried in that too. But most of it I had already heard. My mom was always like, oh, I don't know if I should tell you this because it's probably gonna be hard to hear. And then she'd tell me something like, yeah, you've told me that 8 times, Mom. I love you. I love you, but you told me, you know. It's okay. It's okay. But it was just hearing it all in such a short period of time. So it's, and then like going and then sitting with it and really sitting with it and processing and really listening into it. And even more so recognizing that a lot of the folks in my life, the apprehensions were more about fear of safety, fear of what does this mean, the kind of words that may open. And a lot of it might have come from their own personal experiences. And I think for me, recognizing I was fortunate enough that a lot of the folks in my life may have shown apprehension, but really come from a place of love. And I think I could hear through some of those words a little bit more the more I sat with them. So I think that was a very cathartic, but also...
Gwen was asked what it was like to make the film within the supervisory structure of the university during her master's degree.
Yeah, there was a number during the period of time, but for my fine MFA, it was this film, and like I wrote a kind of a paper, an essay about the process and looking at the what worked, what I would recommend to other MFA students and all that sort of stuff. But I was thinking of either Concordia or here at the time, but when I was coming out and started knowing that I was going to transition, I thought, I should probably stay where I have some like community and family and supports. And a few years before that, Sharon McGowan came here to be a producer, a teacher at UBC, and she produced a film called Better Than Chocolate that had come out in like around 1998 or 99 that had a trans character in it. And the screenwriter for that, Peggy Thompson, is at the creative writing department. And so I was like, you know what, if I come here, I won't have to be doing like trans 101 with my faculty. And I was at a point where I was feeling a lot more vulnerable and worried about just how people would take me or not. So I thought that really helped hold me to stay here. And both of them were on my steering committee, along with Stephen Heatley, who was in the drama department here. Yeah, so I think I was really fortunate with that. And here at UBC at the time, I don't know if it's still the case with your MFA, a lot of it's self-directed. So I think that I would have learned a lot of amazing skill sets out of Concordia, but I think that the film that I kind of want to make, I was fortunate, lucky enough to get to make here, and I may have been able to there, I don't know, but I think that just being here in town allowed me the possibility to continue to shoot and with my family, so. Yeah. Anything else before we all go home to our cozy places? And well, on that note, I just want to say thank you so much for coming out again. I super appreciate it. And,